This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to the Dogs Podcast with your hosts, Blake Reniker, Justin Charles, and Josh All.
What's up, Browns fans? Welcome back to another episode of the Dogs Podcast presented by Omaha Steaks. Josh All alone with you on a Wednesday, and it just so happens to be May 1st. And since I was not able to do an episode yesterday on April 30th, I will hit you with this just one time, and then we will leave it be.
It's gonna be May.
So I would have been remiss if I did not get that drop in at least once. As we roll into the month of May, the NFL draft is over, NFL free agency, the big frenzy of NFL free agency is over, and now it's on to rookie mini camps and OTAs. And we're not too far off from training camp and all the summer activities and everything that's going to lead us into the 2024 season for the Cleveland Browns. Such an exciting time to be a Browns fan. If you guys missed the last episode, I broke down each of the Browns' six draft picks from the draft last weekend and talked about the upside, the potential for each one of them, kind of the low end, the high end expectations, and just everything you need to know about each of those players. Today, what I'm going to do, like I promised on the last episode, I want to break down the UDFA signings that the Cleveland Browns made Sunday morning after the draft was over. For anybody new or who's not followed the NFL very closely for a long length of time, UDFA is undrafted free agent. So these are guys that go through the NFL draft. They declare for the NFL out of college, and they go through the draft, don't get drafted. No team in the NFL selects them with any of their picks. They instantly fall into this UDFA undrafted free agent pool. And it is a feeding frenzy. As soon as the NFL draft is over, all the teams going out there, making phone calls, putting in, you know, their bids to all of these guys who they probably had their eye on throughout the draft. And they watched and watched that, okay, this guy's not going to get drafted. As soon as the draft ends, we need to call because I want to get him on the roster, but I'm not going to use a draft pick to do it. And that does not necessarily mean these guys aren't good players or don't have good potential. We saw last year, Ronnie Hickman and Muhammad Diabate were two UDFA signings from Andrew Berry after the draft was over, who went through the summer, went through training camp preseason, and made the final active 53-man roster heading into the season. The year before that, it was D'Anthony Bell. And we saw last year, he made the roster again. So just because these guys, did not get drafted does not mean that they can't play football at the NFL level. There are always gems. And I did look up this stat, and I wanted to make sure I mentioned this. So I know on previous episodes, we've talked about this. I think Blake even mentioned this the other night when we did the live on Friday night during the draft. He said something like 50% of the league is made up of undrafted free agents and undrafted players. That's not necessarily true, but it's not far off. So I just wanted to kind of come correct on those statistics, just so you guys know, one, we're not kidding around when we say there is a ton of undrafted players in the NFL, but it's also not as high as 50%. So what the numbers say, that there are nearly 500 undrafted players currently in the NFL. And that would be, 15 current members of the Pro Football Hall of Fame were also undrafted free agents. So based on the numbers from last season, it is 30%, not 50, but 30% of the NFL is made up of undrafted players. That's a huge number. So again, it's not half, like we've said before, it's not 50. And again, we were just kind of throwing out a speculative number saying, look, it's actually not a low number that makes up the undrafted portion of the NFL. 30%, that's 3 out of every 10 players didn't get drafted. That's a pretty large percentage of players because you know, every year they hype up for the draft and you go through all of these picks. And I've got people in the comments saying, oh, you're getting too hyped about, you know, Nathaniel Watson. They picked him in the sixth round. He might not make the team. Miles Harden, seventh round pick. Who cares? Guys, 30% of the league is undrafted. Every single player is an individual circumstance, an individual situation, and you have to evaluate them independently of other players. Now, you can use comps and say, okay, well, this player is similar to this one, and he did this and that and the other, but they are still not the same player. They might be comparable, but they're still not the same. So I just kind of wanted to go through some of that. We've had some talk online. One guy that we did draft that I want to talk about and kind of revisit something that I had in my notes that I totally skipped over, forgot to talk about, and that is Jamari Thrash. So before I dive into what I missed on Jamari Thrash, the wide receiver the Browns took in the fifth round, I want to remind you guys, like this video, subscribe to the channel on YouTube, and please tap the notification bell so you don't miss any new episodes. And if you're listening on Apple Podcasts specifically, if you're listening on Spotify, please tap 5-star rating. That helps us a ton. Apple Podcasts, though, you guys, please scroll down to the bottom and leave us a 5-star written review. And it doesn't have to be a long write up, just a quick sentence or two. It could just even be great Browns content. Boom, three words, and that's a 5-star written review that helps us get our Browns show in front of more Browns fans like you guys. And one last thing, if you guys like the shirt I'm wearing, if you're watching on YouTube, check it out. It's kind of like a Cleveland Browns with the white face mask on the helmet, sort of like a Punisher look. It says, Cleveland Browns fans, no. And that's a new shirt design that we have on our merch store at thedogspodcast.com/shop. Go head over there, check out the merch, see what else we got on there. There are still some Joe Flacco shirts. If you guys are still big Joe Flacco fans, go get your Flack Around and Find Out shirts from last season. And this is the new shirt for 2024. And pretty excited about this design. One of the best ones we've got on there, if I do say so myself. Anyway, so now we'll dive into Jamari Thrash. And I just want to talk about one thing, like I said, that I forgot to mention on the last episode. And I'll just quickly, I already posted this on social media, so if you're following, you might have already seen this. I'm just going to kind of read through the notes that I made and already posted. But Jamari Thrash actually dealt with a broken hand during this past season at Louisville. So he suffered the broken hand. I believe it required screws to fix. Underwent surgery, all that stuff. That was in November, and he missed their, I believe it was the week 10 game against Virginia Tech. So it was after the midpoint in the season, more toward the end of the season. And that was the only game Jamari Thrash missed with a broken hand. Kind of unbelievable. He returned the following week, and he played the rest of the season. He was quoted saying, just knowing what we had to do, seeing where we were at in the standings, I knew that going to the ACC championship game was something that was big for us. Browns director of player personnel, Dan Sagany, said this regarding Thrash playing through his broken hand injury. I think it proves the makeup of who the kid is. So tough, competitive, and smart. And then I went and looked at the stats because we talked about in the last episode, Jamari Thrash has a high drop percentage, a drops issue. Well, how much of that drop issue was actually or could be attributed to that hand injury? Well, I went back and looked. Before the broken hand, Jamari Thrash had suffered 5 drops through 8 games. After the injury, 3 drops through 4 games. So if you do the math there, it's really hard to say that the injury strongly impacted his overall drops numbers. I mean, he already had 5 of the 8 before the injury. So to me, it appears that the drops issue is something that Jamari Thrash dealt with in college, and it's not broken hand related. And again, I talked about watching the tape, watching the film on Thrash, and it seemed to me like drops were more of a concentration focus issue. I don't think it's a hands issue. I don't think he's got bad hands. There are different circumstances that cause drops. And those are two of the big things right there, just focus lapses. Or do you have just bad hands? Your skills with your hands just aren't good. Your eye-hand coordination, all that stuff. To me, his eye-hand looks good. I think it looks pretty good. To me, the drops and the near drops, I talked about the one touchdown that he damn near dropped wide open in the corner. Focus. It looks like a lack of focus, maybe a concentration. Maybe he's checking before he should be to see, okay, is there a defender in front of me? Do I need to make a move? He's checking. He's looking down. I think the fumble or the double catch in the end zone was checking to make sure his feet were in bounds before he had secured the catch. Things like that, that good coaching and good veteran leadership around you in the wide receiver room can help correct. I think this guy's got great football IQ. I think he's a good route runner. I think he has skills that, for me, actually give him that upside to be the reliable wide receiver three that we've been looking for in Cleveland, that we wanted David Bell to be, that we were hoping Cedric Tillman could come out to be in his rookie year. And he still could be. He can still develop into a nice receiver for the Browns. But I do have some high hopes for Jamari Thrash. And again, this is not saying he's number one wide receiver in the future or anything like that. I'm talking about a reliable guy that can get open, that can, you know, he's good in the scramble drill. He knows what his QB wants him to do, where he's supposed to be on every play. And then if the play breaks down, where he needs to be for his quarterback. So I like the stuff that Jamari Thrash is bringing to the table. Again, just got to work on the drops. I just wanted to address it because I had people in the comments saying, well, you didn't mention the broken hand. I knew about the broken hand, completely slipped my mind, forgot all about it, and didn't want to just say, oh, well, the broken hand led to the drops without looking at it. And by the numbers, it doesn't seem like that was the case. Now, the broken hand definitely impacted his production, 87.8 yards per game and 7 touchdowns on the season before the broken hand. That number dropped clear down to 36.5 yards per game, and he didn't catch another touchdown after the injury. So, yes, overall production was definitely impacted by that hand injury. All right, two other notes real quick. I just want to mention, and I'm not going to go into detail on these because we will be doing a live show tomorrow night on YouTube, in studio. Blake, Justin will all be there talking about their takeaways from the draft, the entire draft class. You guys already got my view on it, but we'll get theirs. We'll talk about some more news. I just want to mention this today so you're aware. But again, we will dive into it more deeply tomorrow night. The Browns have signed veteran center Brian Allen, played with the Los Angeles Rams. He was a starter for them for a while. I don't believe he was last year, though, but he was the starter on the offensive line for the Rams when they won their Super Bowl a few years ago. So the Browns bring in some more veteran depth on the O-line. And again, with the O-line, the Browns have signed offensive tackle Roy, I'm going to try this, Embateka. I'm hoping I'm saying that right. Roy Embateka from Nigeria. He's part of the International Player or Pathway to Players program. I'll make sure Justin has all that information. I'll make sure I get that right. But anyway, he's been on the practice squad for the Bears. I'm trying to remember who the other team was. Oh, the Giants. It was the Giants and then the Bears. And now he's getting signed with the Browns. And there's all kinds of cool stuff the Browns get to do with their roster, with the practice squad, with, you know, they get like an additional spot and there's some exemption stuff. Bringing in this guy and giving him an opportunity to continue to develop and see if he can someday carve out a role on an NFL active roster. And, you know, it's almost like practice squads and doing this type of thing. This is kind of like the minor leagues for the NFL because, you know, like in baseball, they've got double A, triple A. These guys play in these leagues sometimes for years before they ever make their, you know, pro Major League Baseball debut. So it's cool just to see the Browns continue to explore every option, bring in these guys. And none of the players that we're talking about today with these UDFAs are a lock to make the roster in any way. There's a lot of potential practice squad candidates on here, which gives them a good opportunity to stay with the organization, continue to develop, and maybe crack the roster at some point in the future. We'll see how that goes. But we're going to dive in here, and we're going to spend most of this episode talking about the first two names on this list. There's a couple guys after that I'll go into a little more detail on, but the first two guys are the big ones. And if you've been watching this show, if you've been watching me, you're going to be very familiar with the first two names the Browns signed in free agency after the draft. Kenny Mack and myself have done several segments on these two guys, BYU running back Aiden Robbins and Miami offensive guard Javion Cohen. But now these guys aren't just prospects like we've been previewing for the Browns as potential targets. They are officially Cleveland Browns. And I will dive deep into these two players. They're the two players that we've been very high on since, you know, late February, early March. But like I mentioned, they're not the only two that could make roster decisions difficult for the Browns in September. And we'll talk about the rest of these UDFA signings along the way. Just one last mention here. Andrew Berry, the Browns front office. In my opinion, this is another fantastic UDFA class. We'll talk about it. Last year, I already mentioned Ronnie Hickman, Muhammad Diabate. They brought in Lonnie Phelps, linebacker, edge, and he was on the practice squad. He's still on the roster. So that's three UDFA signings from last offseason who are still on the roster here a year later. So again, 30% of the league is undrafted. 500 total players right now make up the undrafted portion of the NFL players in the league. So that it's a big number. And I believe this class for the Browns has some gems. So let's dive into it. And this list is going to have a couple names I think we'll be seeing stick around Berea for quite some time. This episode is brought to you by Omaha Steaks. Browns fans, Mother's Day is coming up. And if you are having a cookout or a get together with friends and family and whatever, you want to make sure you have the best food available. And that's Omaha Steaks. Head to omahasteaks.com/dogs right now. They're doing their spring sale, 50% off site wide. Plus, you know it, you get $30 off your order when you use promo code DOGS, D-A-W-G-S, when you check out. Get all the good stuff for Mother's Day. Grill out some steaks, burgers, chicken, jumbo franks, brats. They've got seafood. They've got appetizers. They've got desserts. They even have wine. Everything you need for a great Mother's Day cookout or just any cookout this spring. Make sure you get it from Omaha Steaks. They've got the best stuff and the best prices. This is a great deal. You cannot get better food for this deal in the stores. The stores are just screwing us right now. This is awesome. Take advantage. I've been promoting Omaha Steaks for like 3 or 4 years now because I love them. I buy their stuff all the time. The freezer always has Omaha Steaks. I don't even know what's in there half the time. We just pull it out and start eating because it's so good. Give it a try if you haven't. And if you already have, you know how great it is. Get ready for Mother's Day with Omaha Steaks at omahasteaks.com/dogs. 50% off site-wide during the annual spring sale. And get that extra $30 off with promo code DOGS when you check out. Minimum order may apply. Kick it off with Aiden Robbins, running back out of BYU, 6'3", 240 pounds, big, just bruising monster running back. I have not been able to find an exact age or a date of birth on Aiden Robbins yet. He's probably in like the 23-year-old range. He is from Kentucky. I believe he was the 12th ranked player in the entire state when he was coming out of high school. During his senior season of high school, he suffered a torn labrum. I think it was his right shoulder, if I remember correctly. And he actually started his college career playing at Louisville. And he transferred to UNLV in 2022, transferred again to BYU in 2023. Now, Aiden Robbins has 4.62 speed. This dude is not a burner, but he is a big physical power back. In 2022 at Louisville, Aiden Robbins played 11 games with 209 carries, 1,009 yards, and 9 touchdowns with 23 receptions, 125 yards, and another score through the air. And that is impressive, okay, for a back of his size. And, you know, we talked about him not being a burner, but he's got good game speed. And he gets, we'll talk about this a little bit later on, some of his scouting profile, north-south very quickly. So he has good vision, good instincts, and he knows where to be and how to get there. But again, 209 carries, 1,009 yards, 9 touchdowns. But the 23 receptions for 125 yards, that's pretty good for a college running back in the receiving department, especially with his physical profile, the big body bruising back. You don't always see these types of running backs be able to handle the receiving work. But Aiden Robbins has demonstrated that he can do just that. So last year, he dealt with a wrist injury that actually required surgery. Oh, I'm sorry. Let me back up. 2023 at BYU. Let's talk about the stats. Because I just told you what he did the year before. Over 1,000 yards. 1,120-30-some total yards. I'm sorry. The stats are getting away from me here. I'm not doing quick math very well. 2023, BYU, only played 8 games. He was part of a running back rotation, only had 101 carries, 100 fewer than the year before, 485 yards, less than half of the 50% of what he had the year before, and he only scored 1 touchdown this past season at BYU. why. Why did the production drop off so drastically for a guy who had such an impressive campaign in 2022, transferred to a school to continue to build upon that resume to make his push for the NFL, and then had a very disappointing year statistically? Well, he dealt with, like I already mentioned, dealt with a wrist injury that required surgery in the offseason heading into 23, and then he actually had a rib injury right before the season started, and that really limited him for like the first, I'd say, third of the season. And overall, 2023 never really saw him get to full speed. He did have one huge game against Oklahoma near the end of the season when maybe some of those injuries weren't nagging him quite as much. He had 22 carries, 182 yards. BYU nearly upset the Sooners in that one. So that was a pretty impressive to see him come out and do that. The dude was a team co-captain at BYU. He had already graduated with his business marketing degree from Louisville. So, you know, he was just playing football. He was taking advantage of the added eligibility from COVID. And Aiden Robbins just seems like a smart, high IQ, young man, good leader. And there's no denying this dude has some pretty incredible athleticism. Now, like I mentioned, scouts say his north-south speed is faster than what his 40 time would suggest. When they say that Aiden Robbins is physical, they mean it. He seeks to deliver impact on his defenders. He has a good stiff arm, and he never shies away from running through tacklers, keeps his legs churning through the contact. And I want you guys to make no mistake here about what I'm saying. This is not just a guy the Browns added as a camp body. They fully expect, in my opinion, Aiden Robbins to come in and compete for a roster spot. Worst case scenario, he's going to be a practice squad guy for 2024, but do not be surprised if he makes the roster in September. I know we signed Deontay Foreman. I know we signed Nyheim Hines to go along with Jerome Ford and Pierre Strong. Again, and this is all assuming that, like we've been talking, Nick Chubb is going to open the season on the PUP, physically unable to perform, list. But that could mean that you see a running back room to start the season of Ford, Foreman, Hines, and Robbins. Or if Robbins like totally balls out in camp and the preseason, you might see Ford, Robbins, and Hines. Maybe they let Deontay Foreman go. Or if Hines shows that he just has not regained his explosiveness and he's just not himself anymore after last year's ACL injury, it could be Ford, Foreman, and Robbins. But I'm telling you guys, go watch some Aiden Robbins. Go back to our previous episodes where Kenny Mack talked about Aiden Robbins as a draft target for the Browns, where I talked about him. I think this guy, if he plays up to his potential throughout the summer, could be a very good hidden gem add for the Browns. And before you go out there dogging on this episode or anything that I'm saying, talking about, oh, well, here he goes again, talking about a UDFA making the roster and being something special, Josh is overly optimistic. Was Isaiah Crowell not an undrafted free agent as well that was signed after the draft? It's not unheard of, especially at the running back position, to see these guys make a name for themselves. The running back depth chart in Cleveland is one that I'm going to be watching all summer because there's so many of these variables, like I just listed out, that we got to consider. Matt Wilson on Twitter said, BYU's Aiden Robbins is one of my favorite prospects in this year's draft class for the Browns in terms of a late round running back prospect. He's an absolute tank. That was before the draft. So like us, Matt, we're all talking about Aiden Robbins as a late round draft prospect, and we didn't have to draft him. We were able to just sign him afterward. Matt Wilson also cited Robbins' 21 reps on the bench press. That was just two fewer than Notre Dame's Audric Estime. And if you guys haven't seen Audric Estime or you're not familiar with him, just Google, look at a picture of Audric Estime from Notre Dame. That is a gargantuan human being. And Aiden Robbins only repped two reps on the bench, fewer than Estime did. So OBR had this to say in their evaluation of Aiden Robbins. He has one of the most intimidating builds at the running back position, uses his immense physique as a downhill runner, easily defeating arm tackles. He understands his talents and shortcomings as a runner and does not attempt to be what he is not. He is quick enough to run through an opening, wreaking havoc on defensive backs who stand in his way. His vision is excellent, and he will always keep his legs going. He's a complete pass catcher who can improve even more in mismatches. His play strength and build make him an effective pass blocker. His decision to declare for the NFL draft surprised many. So two things there. Let's just start with the pass blocking. That's big. If Aiden Robbins can come into camp, come into the preseason, and demonstrate that he is an effective pass blocker, his path to making this roster in September just became a lot more clear, because that is so important in an NFL offense. Number two is his decision to declare for the draft surprised many. So honestly, and I'm looking at this based on the stats and his transferring, all this stuff, if this guy stays in college one more season, he did have 1 year remaining of eligibility. And if he stays healthy, he probably puts up somewhere between 1,100 and 1,400 yards, 5 to 10 touchdowns. And Aiden Robbins would have solidified himself most likely as a running back to be taken anywhere between the third and the sixth rounds. Maybe, who knows what the draft class looks like next year, but somewhere like that in 2025. On the flip side, though, if he stays another year in college and he gets injured again, he doesn't have, you know, he has another down year in production. Now you're looking at a 24-year-old UDFA at the running back position, and his chances to carve out any role on an NFL roster go down drastically just for that 1 year. So Aiden Robbins took a gamble, declared for the draft, came out, didn't get drafted, but he did get signed immediately afterward by the Browns. And I think this dude is a downright dog, and I think he is somebody to keep a very sharp eye on over the summer for the Cleveland Browns.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Big time UDFA signing number two. My favorite, like, mid to late round prospect for the Browns through the entire pre-draft process was offensive guard Javion Cohen from Miami. 6'4", 324 pounds. He's still 21, will not turn 22 until August. So this is a young guy. He's from Phenix City, Alabama. Originally went to Alabama in 2020. He did not play much there as a freshman, but he did start 14 games for Alabama as a sophomore the following year in 21. 2022, he started 11 games and was named second team All-SEC, playing all 549 snaps at left guard, and he allowed only 5 quarterback hurries and 0 sacks as a sophomore at Alabama. Pretty damn good. He entered the transfer portal then in 2023, went to Miami, where he earned honorable mention All-ACC. In 2023, Cohen played 771 snaps, and he only allowed 12 quarterback hurries and his first career sack here in 23. That was the only sack he allowed in his 4 seasons as a starter in college. Cohen got invited to the Senior Bowl, which is where I first got introduced to him via Barry Shuck from Dogs by Nature. Barry came away super impressed with Cohen's performance, and I watched clips of him from the Senior Bowl just manhandling Braden Fisk, who ended up being a second-round pick at the defensive tackle position. Draft Buzz scouting summary says Javion Cohen projects as a viable day two pick, and he didn't go on day two or day three, but a viable day two pick with significant starting potential at the guard position in the NFL. His tape showcases a lineman who can anchor effectively in pass pro and exploit his lateral agility to mirror rushers, making him a plug-and-play option in zone-heavy schemes. While Cohen exhibits a robust initial punch and good grip strength at the point of attack, his play strength against bull rushers and technique in sustaining blocks will be areas of focus at the professional level. Cohen's ability to pull and hit moving targets lends credence to his fit in a scheme that leverages his mobility and space blocking. His proficiency at climbing to the second level and sealing linebackers can significantly impact a run game. However, his inconsistencies, particularly playing with high pad level and occasional stiffness in his lower half, pose challenges against the NFL's quicker interior defenders. These technical flaws, if unaddressed, could expose him in pass protection, where the speed and complexity of NFL defenses will test his limits. But overall, Cohen's transition to the NFL hinges on refining his footwork and improving his functional strength. Expect him to be a fringe player who, while does have some starting potential, will most likely be a backup at the next level. Okay, so the Browns came away from the draft with Zach Zenner from Michigan, who started all 4 years of college at right guard. He only allowed 3 sacks in his entire career. And then they signed UDFA Javian Cohen, who played all 4 seasons of college at left guard, who only allowed 1 sack in his career. And both of these guys played at major college programs. So obviously, it's wishful thinking, of course, to project that the Browns just found their 2 starting future offensive guards in this draft class. Now, Zach Zenner clearly projects as a starting caliber guard. That's the expectation. Not this year, but in like 2025, I do expect Zach Zenner to probably be the starting right guard for the Browns. But I'm holding out hope that Javian Cohen will make this roster and he will develop over the next season or two. He could definitely come in and show that he can be a depth piece, a good, solid depth player at the interior offensive line, with that eventual upside to eventually see starting snaps. It is in the range of outcomes for Javian Cohen, which is why I was so excited about him as a prospect to begin with. Now, make no mistake, I'm not claiming that Javian Cohen is that guy for the Browns in the future, but you guys know I did so many shows and segments talking about him as a draft steal for the Browns in the mid rounds. So to get him like at the UDFA status does not change what I saw from him, what I read about him. It doesn't change any of the reasons why I liked him as a prospect for the Browns. And then you got to ask, okay, well, if this guy has that kind of potential to maybe even develop into a starting level guard at the NFL, why did he fall in the draft and go UDFA? Again, remember, 30% of the league is undrafted, so it's not unheard of for these things to happen. Now, I haven't seen anything concrete about this, but I can speculate a little bit. One, Javian Cohen apparently added unnecessary weight in 2023 at Miami when he came from Alabama. He displayed a little bit slower feet in his slide protections. And so maybe that's one reason why he fell. Maybe people were a little concerned with his heavier weight that he played with. Number two, when he announced his transfer decision in 2022, he said he'd also spent time at a rehab facility for mental health reasons. Now, I don't have any further information on that situation, but it must have been, you know, serious for him to check into a rehab facility for those reasons. It could have been, and again, this is all speculation. This is no reporting, but I mean, it could have been depression, suicidal thoughts. It could have been substance abuse. We don't know for sure why he checked himself into a rehab facility for mental health reasons, but it is something that I'm going to take a moment here to address. These professional athletes, first of all, these college athletes going through the programs and then into the NFL, these athletes, whether it's football, baseball, basketball, what have you, these guys are humans. Yes, they are the best humans at playing their sport in the entire world. But it doesn't make them immune from having human emotions and human problems. Now, we are supposed to, at some point, waiting to hear back from his agent on scheduling, but we're supposed to have Corey Coleman come on the show sometime in the near future to discuss this exact topic and how mental health issues can derail athletic talent and potential faster than anything. So it is good to see that whatever Cohen was dealing with, he recognized it, sought help, he was able to overcome, and still have a great season, honestly, at Miami. Now, maybe those problems, you know, led to him being more overweight. Maybe they led to him having some poor interviews or, you know, testing when he met with the NFL teams that he met with. But the Browns did meet with Javian Cohen several times throughout the pre-draft process, and they clearly liked him enough to make him a priority UDFA immediately after the draft. He was a name that I was watching down the draft board. I'd be flipping from the draft results to the, you know, PFF's big board of best available. And there was Javian Cohen just dropping and dropping and dropping through every round. And in every round the Browns got to at every pick, I thought, well, Javian Cohen's got to be in consideration here because I know how much they appear to like him. I know how much I like him based on the research I've done. and he just continued to not get picked. But the Browns did make him an immediate priority after the draft was over. And whether it works out or not, the range of outcomes, admittedly, is very wide. He could flame out over the summer and not even make it through the preseason, not make it to the practice squad, what have you. He could end up being a practice squad guy. He could end up balling out all summer long, dropping the weight, adding some strength, working on everything, and the Browns say, we have to put him on the roster as, you know, one of our third string offensive guards. The range is wide. We will see what happens. But I'm very excited for the Browns to have two great prospects with potential, one at right guard and one at left guard, considering the age and contract statuses of Joel Bitonio and Wyatt Teller. So this is, again, another UDFA prospect along with Aiden Robbins that I am very excited to see sign with the Browns. I was pumped when the news came through, and I'm very excited to see how it all comes together and develops over the summer. This episode is brought to you by Bodden Sports. Browns fans, Bodden Sports is your one-stop shop for all your athletic gear. Bodden started out perfecting and manufacturing the best balls in the business. Yeah, if that sounded dirty, that's more about your mind than my words. But hey, it's true. Baseballs, softballs, footballs, basketballs, volleyballs, soccer balls, you name it, and Bodden has engineered the highest standard sports balls available. And now they offer more than just sports balls. If you got kids playing baseball or softball, Bodden has batting gloves and bats to go along with both game balls and training balls. If you're into basketball, Bodden makes basketball specifically for indoor or outdoor use. Heck, Bodden even has all the equipment you need for pickleball, which is one sport that I hear everyone is playing and yet I still never have. And I need to fix that soon. But don't miss the backyard game section of Bodden's website where you can order everything you need for this upcoming outdoor season. Pool balls, backyard volleyball nets, croquet, bocce, horseshoes, cornhole, and more. Right now, you can get 10% off your entire order at Bodden Sports, BADENSports.com/dogs, DAWGS, and use promo code DOGS when you check out. That's 10% off all the top quality sporting gear you need this season. BADENSports.com/dogs. All right, like I said, those were the two big ones I really wanted to spend a lot of time on. Now we'll just kind of roll through the names of these prospects just to make sure you guys are familiar with who they are and what to watch for over the summer. But we will spend a little bit more time on this next guy than the rest. But this is offensive lineman Jalen Sundell from North Dakota State. 6'5", 300 pounds. He's 24. He'll turn 25 during the season, so an older prospect. He was projected by many as a fifth or sixth round pick. He played most of his career at center, but he moved to left tackle in 2023, played 406 pass block snaps, and he allowed just 9 quarterback pressures and only 1 sack in the entire season. I believe he only allowed 2 sacks his entire collegiate career, if I looked at that correctly. Now, obviously, the big question mark surrounding Sundell, one is level of competition playing in the FCS and his size. 6'5", that's nice, but 300 pounds means he'll need to add some weight if he wants to play tackle at the NFL level. But his versatility, playing different positions on the line, performing well regardless of where he lined up, those could all be beneficial for him throughout the summer as he makes his push to stick around with the Browns in some aspect. Now, his NFL draft prospect profile says he is athletic with a multi-positional background. Sundell will be at his best in a move-blocking scheme that allows him to pull or get out in space on stretch plays. He has the ability to get to cutoff blocks and the fluidity to adjust and tag targets in space. He will need at least a year to attempt to gain the strength necessary to face off against NFL power at a functional level. He has good hands and timing and pass protection, but can get rolled into the pocket by power due to a subpar anchor. Dude just needs to build up his strength. Sundell's athleticism and versatility will help, but it could be difficult finding a team willing to wait for him to gain the strength necessary to earn a role. That's why the Browns signed him. Who's going to have the patience to let this guy sit on a practice squad and develop? The Cleveland Browns. We don't need him right now, but he could be nice in the future. From NFL Draft Buzz, the pros, he shows a good feel for combo blocks, displays good quickness and flexibility when moving to the moving to the second level, capable of sealing the backside on reach blocks, solid positional run blocker who flashes the nasty demeanor and killer instincts scouts covet. Above average football smarts and general intelligence, plays with a nasty streak. Solid character, solid work ethic. All things that we love seeing the Browns continue to bring into the building. Lone concern is handling the super quick NFL edge rusher. Foot speed and quickness are very good, but not elite. Sundell is a work in progress with high-end physical traits. He's extremely light on his feet for a 300-pounder. A natural knee bender who plays with a balance and leverage, has the natural power to move defenders at the point of attack. He also has the agility and speed to get out in front and land blocks at the second level. Sundell also shows a good understanding of angles when climbing to that second level. Weaknesses could be a liability against speed-to-power pass rushers early in his career. Too often is pushed back into the pocket during pass protection because he bends at the waist rather than at the knees. Relies more on precise angles and physicality in the run game. Flashes the ability to move his man with his hands, but is not yet consistent in this area. And again, the rest of these guys we're talking about here, these are UDFA guys. We're talking about depth, serious depth and development prospects, practice squad guys. Now, Sundell, I've heard a lot of good things about him. I know there are some scouts out there that were pretty high on him during the pre-draft process, so the Browns could have maybe snagged themselves another gem here. And when I say gem, I'm talking James Hudson has proven that he is not a very good depth offensive tackle for the Browns. And considering that Sundell played tackle and he's also got the versatility playing on the interior as well, could end up being a guy that replaces, you know, that James Hudson depth spot maybe in 2025 or 2026, you know, just depending on how his weight and strength conditioning and training and all that improvement goes. If he does it more quickly and he adjusts to the NFL game well, maybe we see him a little sooner. But another guy that I'm going to be watching, and I'm glad that the Browns brought him in. Sticking with the offensive line now, we'll talk about offensive tackle Lorenzo Thompson from Rhode Island, 6'6", 305 pounds, 23, turns 24 in June, played left tackle for Rhode Island, has impressive athleticism with his speed and movement for such a big dude, but lacks strength and explosion in his lower body. Though what I've read says he could utilize a year or two on a practice squad to build his NFL strength before he might someday crack an active roster. I think that would be great for him. He's a three-year starter and a team captain in 2023. The scouting reports say he's a patient blocker, lets his defenders make the first move, but his short arms won't bode well for the edge in the NFL. He's never played guard. So this guy, I know he played tackle in college, does not project to play a tackle position in the NFL due to those short arms. I saw that knocked over and over again. He's never played guard. He's going to have to try to make that transition if he wants to earn himself a role at the NFL level. But that's where they project him to play based on his side and just athletic, you know, physical limitations. To me, practice squad candidate, and we will see how it goes for Lorenzo Thompson. The next guy on offense, wide receiver Amarian Brown out of South Carolina, 5'8", 170 pounds, 23 years old. So he's a smaller wide receiver. Started at Georgia Tech for his first two seasons, and then he transferred to South Carolina for three. His NFL prospect profile says Brown's short area elusiveness can make him a fun watch on receiver screens and jet sweeps. His smallish frame will be an issue for teams concerned with long-term durability. He can run with separation speed vertically, but isn't built to win contested catches on any of the three levels. Brown displayed ability as a punt returner in 2022, and he might be pigeonholed as a gadget guy and punt returner if he makes a team. So the pros showed impressive speed at his pro day, scored 7 touchdowns on 21 catches as a deep target in 2019, talent as a gadget option for jet sweeps and quick game throws. Very slippery with the ability to dart in and out to elude tacklers, and he's able to race around contain as a punt returner. Weaknesses: he never improved on his freshman production in 2019. Smallish frame makes durability a concern. Not a winner on contested catches. Below average route runner with small catch radius. His college stats: nothing impressive. Receptions by year: 21, 11, 11, 23, 26. So 26 was his career high in a season. Yards by year: he had 396 yards as a freshman and never touched that again. It was 183, 104, 188, and 265. He had 7 touchdowns his freshman year. He only had 2 the following 4 seasons combined. So this is another guy, practice squad candidate. We'll see what he can do in camp and stuff this summer, but expectations are not high or anything for Amarian Brown. Tight end Trayton Welch out of Wyoming is the next guy we're going to talk about. 6'3", 240 pounds. I do not have an age on him yet. I'm still looking for that. So real quick, the Browns did not draft a tight end in the NFL draft. If you followed my assessment of the position these last couple months at tight end, I know Kenny Mack was real big on tight end, trying to get a tight end in early. The Browns have only, under Andrew Berry and this front office, have only drafted one tight end in five drafts now. So the odds of us drafting a tight end, especially one early, did not seem very high to me. It was Brock Bowers at the top, obviously. And then after that, you know, for me, it was Ben Sennett at tight end two. I love Ben Sennett. I think he's going to be a great player. And after that, the high-end potential for grabbing a guy who can come in, contribute early enough in his rookie season, it dropped off immediately for me. Maybe a guy like Jatavion Sanders out of Texas, who the Browns interviewed. You know, you guys know I liked Eric Aull out of Iowa, but he had the injury concerns. So at this point, as the draft is going further and further and further, I'm like, we're not taking a tight end. Jaheim Bell continued to fall, but he's not a traditional tight end. And I don't know if the Browns really felt like they had a role or a spot for him to really fit in. And we do need actual tight end depth. And Jaheim Bell just is not that guy. So at that point, rookie tight end just, it doesn't look like, a rookie tight end would do nothing for the Browns if anything happens to David Njoku during the season. We don't see rookie tight ends step up and really do anything usually, especially if they're going to be drafted later. So it's better just to fill the depth with veterans and things like that. Now, Andrew Berry was asked about the tight end position after the draft, and here's what he had to say. The first game isn't until after Labor Day weekend, so we've got a long way to go. Za'Darius Smith we traded for on a Friday night in the middle of May. Shelby Harris we signed in early August, and we traded for Pierre Strong and Dustin Hopkins at the end of camp. So there's still work to do in the roster, and that's not just limited to the tight end room. That's what the next couple months are for. So I fully expect the Browns to sign a couple veteran players at the tight end position or possibly swing a trade for a guy from another team. I can definitely see one of those situations happening, or maybe both. We'll see. But getting back to Treyton Welch, who at the moment fills in behind Jordan Akins and Giovanni Richie as the only depth on the team, NFL Draft Prospect Profile says Treyton Welch is combination tight end who can do a little blocking and a little pass catching. Welch powers through routes with too much aggression and not enough finesse. He competes to win combat catches and shows an ability to go get the off-frame throw. He struggles to separate against tight man coverage and isn't big enough to sustain run blocks against edge defenders despite his toughness. Welch should get a shot to compete in a camp even if he goes undrafted, which he did. So this is a guy who had 308 yards in each of his last two seasons. He had five touchdowns in 2022, just two touchdowns in 2023, nine total TDs in college overall. Looks like he played every single game for the last 3 years, so we'll see if he carves out a role on the practice squad or anything like that during camp this summer. Now, notable, Welch does have an 8.75 RAS. That's relative athletic score for you guys who don't know what RAS is. And that's late. That now that scores out of 10. So 8.75 out of 10 is pretty high, especially for a guy who's going undrafted. So that's likely a large reason why the Browns made it a priority to get Treyton Welch onto the roster. You know, he's from the smaller school. So what you want to do, the mindset there, invest in athletic skills, the more freakish athletes, because, you know, it's lower competition at these smaller schools. And it's really hard to put evaluation properly on the production level of these players. All right, we're going to kick it over to the defensive side of the ball for these remaining UDFA signings. Chris Edmonds, the safety slash defensive back out of Arizona State. 6'2", 210 pounds. He's 22, will turn 23 in July. NFL draft prospect profile. Edmonds' impressive measurables and speed are offset by disappointing aggression as a run defender and a lack of instincts in zone coverage. He looks the part, but too often allows the game to play him instead of attacking plays in front of him. He allows too much catch space on the back end and has too many missed tackles near the line and in the open field. While the traits could get him a camp look, the tape might foreshadow a short NFL stint. Now, the dude does have 11 career interceptions in college, though he didn't have any of those in 2023, but he did have 71 tackles last year for the Sun Devils. So Chris Edmonds could be a decent player for the practice squad, depending on how his coverage skills improve or what they show during camp. But you know how I feel. The Browns are already pretty set at safety with Juan Thornhill, Grant Delpit, and then you've got Rodney McLeod with Ronnie Hickman and D'Anthony Bell. I mean, we are definitely set there. So to get this guy in on the practice squad, I think would be nice, but I do not project or foresee anything beyond that. Cornerback Deshaun Gales out of South Dakota State, 5'9", 188 pounds, stocky build for a short height, physical player, most likely limited to the slot corner at the NFL level. I like that the Browns grabbed Myles Harden in the seventh round, and I firmly believe Myles Harden makes the roster. Anybody out there saying that, oh, this guy will never make their team, I don't know why you're saying that. Just look at the guy, do a little bit of the research on him. He fits in perfectly into the cornerback rotation. You got your big three, Ward, Newsom, Emerson. You've got Cam Mitchell from last year. Now you've got Myles Harden, who can slot in as the fifth cornerback. And I think that's very much what's going to happen. So I think a guy like Gales could be a good practice squad player to keep around because he kind of fits that Myles Harden role that he's projected to perform at the NFL level. So if there's any injuries or, you know, you need a guy to come be elevated to fill in for a game a week or two here and there, a guy like Deshaun Gales might be your guy. So we'll see what he can do over camp, but I would like to see what he's got, and it'd be cool if he makes the practice squad at the end of the summer. And lastly, we've got linebacker Winston Reed from Weber State. And I saved him for last because he's another player that, while I'm not going to project he makes the final 53-man roster this year, I think he's a player that you can keep around on the practice squad for a year, and maybe, depending on how he develops and what he shows and all that kind of stuff, in 2025, could make a push to make the roster. Winston Reed, 5'11", 223 pounds. He's 24 years old. He's going to turn 25 in August. So he's an older prospect. But, I mean, look at a guy like DeAnthony Bell. Whenever he came in as a UDFA rookie in 2022, he was already 26 years old. He had, you know, situations happen. He had college for a few years, and he left to go do something else, and he came back to try to make a push again to make the NFL. Some of these guys, it just doesn't work out the same for everybody. Winston Reed, already a little older, but that's okay. UDFA, not as concerned about the age. 94 total tackles in 2022 with 4 forced fumbles and 3.5 sacks. And then, just this past year in 23, 113 total tackles, 1.5 sacks, a forced fumble, and a pick. So Winston Reed is another guy who was a team captain in college. He earned first-team All-Big Sky honors in 2022 and in 2023. He played a lot of games in college. I think it was like 46 or something like that. So for me, with how the Browns manage the linebacker position, this is another UDFA signing that really intrigues me. And we saw Muhammad Diabate make the team last season. We don't know what Devin Bush is going to bring this year. And despite the lower level of competition that Winston Reed played, he at least has the college production, the experience to show that he can play the linebacker position well enough to at least crack the practice squad, like I said at the top of this. So again, I am not making wild claims about Winston Reed, but I feel like he's at least a name to keep an eye on over the summer. I know I've said that about most of these guys, but for different reasons. Some of these guys I say keep an eye on because he could be a good practice squad player. Winston Reed, keep an eye on, because if he comes into camp, and again, we cannot just look at the production against the lower tier of competition that he faced in college, but what's his athletic profile and what can he do when he's faced up against this NFL competition? Because I don't think anybody had super high hopes for DeAnthony Bell. He was the first player from his school to ever make it to the NFL. So the odds for him weren't very high, but he comes into training camp, he comes into the preseason, and he shows, just because I played against smaller competition in college does not mean I can't hang with the big boys up here in the NFL. And he showed out. And the fact that Winston Reed is a little bit older, he's a little bit more mature, he's a little more grown. You know what I mean? Like, it's just his body physically is just a little more in tune with the man that he's going to be. When you get these like 20, 21-year-old kids that come into the NFL, they still got growing to do. But this guy's pretty well there. And, you know, just based on what he can show, I'm excited to see what Devin Bush can do. Will I be surprised if it's like, well, you know, that was a swing and a miss? No, I won't be surprised, because he hasn't been the same since his injury. But a guy like Winston Reed could impress and surprise some people. So just keep an eye on him and watch out for his name over the summer. So that's it. That is, to this point, the Cleveland Browns UDFA undrafted free agent signings to this point for 2024. Like I said earlier, I'm very excited for this entire draft class. The six guys we drafted and all these guys that we signed after the draft make up a very nice pool of potential talent for the Browns to fill out the bottom of the roster. And I say the bottom of the roster because the top of our roster, the top end, the stud positions, we talk about this all the time, guys. The Browns had zero starting spots available for anybody out of this draft. We were not drafting for need at any position whatsoever. Where you want to have stud muffins on your NFL roster in certain positions, the Browns have them all filled already. Everybody's locked and loaded, ready to go. This draft was about getting guys who can come in and give us some solid depth, develop into future starters, and continue to sustain the level of, you know, winning culture, the level of performance that we've come now under the Kevin AB regime to expect from the Cleveland Browns in these positions. And, you know, it all starts at the top of this show with Aiden Robbins and Javion Cohen. I am so elated that the Browns were able to sign these two guys. They were two guys that we did a lot of work on talking about as prospect targets for the Browns, you know, the last couple months. So the fact that we got them in here as UDFAs, awesome. Robbins was a guy I was leaning, you know, expecting to be available as a UDFA. Javion Cohen, I was mocking him, you know, fifth round. So the fact that we got him UDFA, very cool. But Winston Reed, all the, you know, just all these guys, go back and listen to it again if you want to recap it all. But I'm very excited to see what these young men can do for the Cleveland Browns over the summer and during the preseason as we gear up for the 2024 season for the Cleveland Browns. I'm very excited, as you can tell. Again, not projecting home runs from anybody, just showing you guys that there is upside with every one of these players. Obviously, that's why the Browns either drafted or signed them. They're not going to say, well, this guy's got very little upside, let's go ahead and take him. That's, come on, guys, think logically. So, very good upside for all of these players. Wide range of outcomes for quite a few of them. We'll see how it all plays out. Drop it in the comments. Who is your favorite UDFA signing by the Browns? Which guy do you project to have the best opportunity to make the roster? Are there a number of guys that you think will make the roster, or will none of these guys end up making the roster? I want to hear what you guys have to say, as always, because, well, the show's for you. We do this for you. And without your feedback, your input, your interaction, it gets a little bit pointless. But we love you guys. You're the best audience in the world. You never disappoint. And I hope we never disappoint you. We are coming to you again tomorrow night live from the studio on YouTube. So join us there. That'll probably be a 6:30 live. And then, of course, it'll be there for you to watch afterwards, as always. And we hope to see you in the chat. And again, drop your thoughts in the comments. Like, subscribe to the channel, tap the notification bell so you don't miss anything, especially things like the live tomorrow. And until I see you guys tomorrow night, let's go Browns.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Dogs Podcast. Make sure you subscribe on YouTube and follow us on Twitter at the Dogs Podcast. Get your thoughts on the show at thedogspodcast.com.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.